It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. Governor Rick Snyder presented his budget for the upcoming fiscal year to the House and Senate this week. Snyder wants to increase spending on roads and education. As you might expect, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle found things they did and didn't like. Jack, what stood out to you in the governor's budget proposal?
Well, to turn the old religious slogan on its head, the governor proposes, but the legislature disposes. They have the power of the purse, and there's already a lot of skepticism about anything that smacks of raising taxes, especially in an election year. In my view, everything the governor's proposing is significantly necessary and perhaps not enough, but it's almost certain the legislature will cut that back. He's proposing sort of an intriguing $5 a household water tax that would be used for infrastructure, but it seems that that's likely dead on arrival, so there'll be a bunch of niff-naws, we used to say, and pushback, and we'll see how much of the governor's budget survives.
Michigan will end its troubled experiment with using private vendors to cook and serve food in prisons. Governor Snyder made the announcement as part of his budget proposal rollout. The state tried two different companies, but there were problems with staffing, misconduct, and maggots in food storage areas. Starting in August, state employees will resume handling prison food services. Jack, what lessons can the state take away from this?
A, not everything can be privatized, and B, the cheapest way isn't necessarily the best. To save money, they were signing contracts with these people, Aramark and Trinity, who paid workers so little, they were getting the dregs. They were getting people who, for extra money, would smuggle contraband into the prisons, or getting people who were willing to have sex with inmates. And more than 200 of Trinity's workers in the last 4 years have been barred permanently from a Department of Corrections property. So you have to at least admire the governor for finally being able to admit he was wrong and reverse course and resume doing it the way it had worked before.
Michigan schools would get report card-style letter grades under legislation introduced this week. Under the bill, schools would receive grades in several areas, things like graduation rate and proficiency in certain subject areas. Supporters say this system would help parents make informed choices about where to send their kids, but others say it could unfairly brand students based on what grades their school received. Jack, the bill may be new, but the debate over using an A to F grading system has been going on for a while in Michigan. Is there any indication that things could be different this time around?
As far as the debate, no. You got the same people on sort of the same sides. And I don't know how well this will turn out. I think there are legitimate grounds for sort of questioning it. I think there are also legitimate grounds for thinking people should have information to make judgments about schools. What I'd prefer to see is where the state would just take three indicator scores, third grade reading, of course, maybe eighth grade reading and math, indicate A, where that school is, and B, what the statewide average is as far as proficiency is concerned, and allow people to decide that way. The thing this really doesn't address is who is going to be assigning the A to F and what criteria are going to be used.
And lastly, former U.S. Representative Joe Nolenberg passed away this week at the age of 84. Nolenberg represented districts in Oakland County for 16 years. Jack, what kind of mark did he leave on Michigan politics?
What I remember about Joe Nolenberg is he was a very early example of the political power of the religious right. In 1992, he was sort of an unknown. Congressman Bill Broomfield was retiring after many years in office, and there are two well-known but pro-choice Republicans who were attacking each other and spending vast amounts of money, the late Alice Gilbert and David Honigman, and Nolenberg was seen as sort of a bad third, and Nolenberg won easily, and he won easily because he had the support of the religious right, and he stayed there then until he was defeated by Gary Peters in 2008. So it was an early indication that anti-abortion was becoming a big litmus test for the majority of Republican primary voters.
All right, Jack, thanks so much, and if you head outside this weekend, why don't you make some snow angels, huh?
Make sure you have your suntan lotion.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.